You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
A prosecutor has called former Liberian President Charles Taylor one of the mega murderers of the 20th century. Mr. Taylor is being tried for 11 counts of war crimes, crimes against humanity, and other serious violations of international law. And joining me now for today's Underreported are Elise Kepler, counsel for the International Justice Program at Human Rights Watch, and Jacob Masakoi, a human rights activist and a leader of New York City's Liberian community. He's also founder of the organization African Refuge. And I'm very pleased to welcome you both to the show. Hello.
Thank you.
Hi. Thank you.
So for listeners who might not know what's happened in Liberia and also Sierra Leone, can we get into some background on what Charles Taylor is accused of doing? You want to start, Elise?
Yeah. Charles Taylor has been indicted by the Special Court for Sierra Leone for his role in supporting the conflict in Sierra Leone and very serious crimes that were committed as part of that. And the Sierra Leone armed conflict, which lasted from 91 to 2002, was characterized by extreme brutality, widespread murder, rape, abduction, amputations, forcible recruitment of children. And Taylor is charged with individual criminal responsibility for those kinds of crimes.
Well, Jacob, couldn't he also be charged for similar crimes for what he did in Liberia?
Absolutely.
So why isn't he being brought up on those charges?
Well, I thought it is a good start. The crimes committed in Liberia by Mr. Charles Taylor and his cohort, it is way beyond human imagination. I thought that the trial for crimes committed in Sierra Leone, it is a good start because the RUF, headed by the late Fode Sankor, was...
That was the rebel group that had child soldiers and cut off people's hands and did all sorts of terrible atrocities.
Correct. I would call the RUF war as a proxy war of Mr. Charles Taylor.
Now, how long was Charles Taylor the president of Liberia?
Taylor was the president from
1998 to 2003.
Yeah. Now, just to clarify, in terms of the special court being the one that's prosecuting Taylor, the special court for Sierra Leone has a mandate only to prosecute serious crimes committed in the conflict in Sierra Leone. It has no mandate to prosecute crimes in Liberia. And in fact, there is no such special court for Liberia at this time, although that may, in fact, be created at some future point, given the kinds of serious crimes that were also committed in Liberia.
Jacob, do you have any memories of peaceful times in Liberia?
Of course I do.
But they have to go back fairly long time. There was a civil war. There have been other problems. You're not that old.
The history of Liberia is, the political history is kind of is peculiar in the sense that during what I can remember, I'm on a 35 years old, you know. During the days of Thurbo, we enjoyed relative peace. Then the military took over. It was when Liberia was a total, a complete upheaval in the country, and it was the middle point of the conflict, and Charles Taylor was just an eruption of the volcano. So we in terms of relative peacetime, a time of trouble was a relative peacetime.
Yeah, but he was part of the long tradition of Americo-Liberian rulers. Well, maybe we should hold off on that for a moment because there is a major American part of the story, including Charles Taylor. Charles Taylor was American educated, wasn't he, Elise? And he had to escape from a jail in Massachusetts before he could return to Africa to get involved with Liberian politics.
Yeah, he did live in Massachusetts for a period of time, and actually his son, Charles Chucky Taylor, is an American citizen and has recently himself been indicted in the United States on the first ever indictment for torture committed abroad.
Is it important to understand the American connection to understand the special situation of Liberia, the fact that it really was that it was ruled by former slaves, American slaves, and until Samuel K. Doe's coup, the coup that you say, the military coup that made everything bad, it was pretty much run by the America-Liberian elite.
Well, that's true. Liberia, the relationship between Liberia and America is a very interesting relationship. Though one would say that Liberia was not colonized by America. However, free slaves from America went to Liberia and established a country. Liberia means liberty in Africa.
The capital is Monrovia, named after James Monroe, the president.
Capital named James Monroe. And most of the streets in Monroe, in Liberia, are named after have American names or after the American streets here in America. For example, we have Maryland and Maryland County, Greenville, etc., Kerrisburg, etc. Now, though one would say that Liberia was not colonized by America, however, the political tradition of Liberia is in part with the American political tradition. They have the House of Senate, House of Representatives, and upper house and the lower house. We get the legislature. They all form this same structure and the same governmental structure. However, the free slaves, they transported the American way of life to Liberia. They reinvented slavery in Liberia.
So the people who were living in the country already just were put into the position that they had escaped from in the United States and the American South.
Right, and they imported slavery in Liberia and enslaved the indigenous. And what happened, this brought a long resentment. And the American Liberians ruled the country for over 100 years, not until, unfortunately, a ninth grade indigenous took over the country. Imposed a dictatorship.
Now, where is Charles Taylor in all of this? Is he an America-Liberian? Do you know?
Well, Charles Taylor, he's part America. He claims to be America-Liberian, also claims to be a child of an indigenous. So he's a very interesting guy.
Well, he escapes from jail in Massachusetts, goes back to Liberia, and gets involved in the civil war against Samuel Doe that began in 1989. How does he wind up becoming elected president in 1997? Did he have a lot of supporters, or was... he had already killed been responsible for a lot of deaths, hadn't he?
Let me comment on that, at least, if I may.
Mm-hmm. Please.
I grew up in Nimba County, and so I witnessed a lot of brutalities in the country. When Doe took over, he took over with a bunch of military personnel from the Gil and Mano tribes. And along the way, conflict ensued amongst the rank and files of the National Redemption Council, PRC. So most of the generals from Nimba went into exile, and there was a total there was harassment of Nimbalians in Liberia all over, and Nimbalians became somehow suspicious of the Doe government and resentful of the Doe government. Not only Nimbalian, many Liberians got the Doe government became very unpopular. So 1989, there was a lot of Nibanians who were disenfranchised, obviously, and they were in exile. Taylor recruited them. And at the same time, in Nimba, I can record when I went home to my village in Butu, where the war started, 89, It was a total, it was like a war zone. There was a huge concentration of Dole army harassing people from village to village. So people were being harassed by the Dole army. So Tito preyed on the resentment of Nibadians against the Dole and Liberians in general.
Well, but the Civil War was multi-pronged. There were a number of different people who were fighting it, weren't there?
At the time of Taylor's election, there was an implicit threat that if Taylor did not win the election, he would fighting would continue. And that was, from what we understand, on the minds of many people when the voting took place. And Taylor won the election by a very large majority, actually.
People were chanting, "He killed my ma, he killed my pa, but I will vote for him."
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that he was supported by Muammar Gaddafi, so he had some money behind him. What did he do? So did he at least try to stabilize things in Liberia, or did he just make things worse there as well as in Sierra Leone?
Taylor is a very manipulative guy. He did not stabilize things in Liberia. Rather, he made things worse in Liberia. The rule of Taylor, it was a rule of terror. Then he was banned upon the elimination of opponents, the destruction of every tenets of human rights values in the country, and a culture of molestation of young women. So I wouldn't say that it was he stabilized and he did not stabilize. He threw Liberia back more than 150 years.
Was Human Rights Watch already involved with the Taylor government? Was he one of the people you put on your special list?
Well, Human Rights Watch certainly documented human rights abuses committed in Liberia during the period in which Taylor was president. And Taylor also, Human Rights Watch documented particular abuses committed by his forces in Liberia. And Taylor, in fact, became notorious for small boy units, which were specific military units created of young boys.
We'll take a little break, and when we come back, we'll find out just what life was like under Charles Taylor when Jacob was growing up, including how dangerous it was. My guests are Jacob Masekoi, a human rights activist and a leader of New York City's Liberian community. He lives in exile. And Elise Kepler, who is a counsel for the International Justice Program at Human Rights Watch. We're talking about the situation in Liberia and why Charles Taylor has been brought up on 11 counts of war crimes, crimes against humanity, and other serious violations of international law at The Hague. Stay with us. We're talking about the former president of Liberia, Charles Taylor, on today's Underreported, with Jacob Masekoi, a human rights activist and a leader of New York City's Liberian community, the founder of an organization called African Refuge, and with Elise Kepler, who is counsel for the International Justice Program at Human Rights Watch. So, Jacob, you became a political dissident when he became president in 1997. From the start?
Yes. I, as I mentioned earlier, I'm from Nimba, and I witnessed horrible crimes, both in Monrovia under the Dole regime and across the rebel lands, under Taylor's control territories, and in Monrovia. So I was at the University of Liberia by then, and I saw what was happened in the country, and it was total deception, injustice everywhere. And I turned very resentful of the culture of impunity.
So was it dangerous? It must have been dangerous.
It was very, very dangerous. Under Taylor's rule, he was the Alpha and the Omega, including his son Chucky. His ATU, his anti-terrorist unit, could do anything to anyone with impunity.
And how did you survive? How did you wind up in Staten Island, where you live now?
Well, I wound up in Staten Island. It's a very interesting question. Between 1994, I got shot. I was in the hospital.
Got 1994, shot. That's before Taylor came to power.
Yeah, before Taylor came to power, and I was in the hospital in 96. 98, when he came to power, I was actively involved with the human rights movement in Liberia.
And so is your brother.
And my brother wasn't much involved with the human rights business. He worked with the United Nations in Liberia back then. But I was actively involved with the human rights movement and also a member of the New Democratic Alternative for Liberia movement as a political party. So I had the opportunity to travel overseas back then, advocating against the use of children in the military. So some of Taylor operatives began to target me, and at that time, most of my colleagues in the human rights circle, those in the media, they were being arrested and detained, some torture.
Well, wasn't your brother executed, and you actually wound up witnessing that?
My brother was executed in 1990, in August 1990, after we survived the St. Peter Lutheran massacre, and we were walking, being a group of people, about survivors in hundreds. And a group of men came in a pickup truck from the battlefront, and they requested us to single file, meaning a form straight line.
You were just a teenager or around 20 years old.
Yes, teenager. Very horrible scene. My brother and I had a promise. We promised each other that if either one of us is arrested, we shouldn't identify with each other. So the soldiers spotted him, because for him, he was a member of the Dole Army. But then he escaped, because they were looking for all of the members of the Dole traps who were serving the army. They were disarmed and also looking for them to have them executed. So they spotted him, and they asked him a question. I mean, are you Kruger? And so his name was Massacre. And the guy just shot him in the head, and I kept running. And I did not look back. But I heard the gun sound, boom, and that was it.
Elise, can you tell us about the special court where Charles Taylor is being tried? Mm-hmm. Under whose jurisdiction is it?
The Special Court for Sierra Leone is a UN-backed tribunal that was created by agreement between the United Nations and the Sierra Leone government. The Sierra Leone government requested that the UN assist it in creating an international tribunal to try serious crimes committed in Sierra Leone. And this is in part because following the conflict, there was a recognition that there needed to be justice for horrific abuses that had been committed, but the national courts were really in no position to deal with the crimes.
And what, just how implicated in all of those crimes was Charles Taylor? After all, he was trying to run Liberia at the time, wasn't he?
Well, under the indictment against Charles Taylor, he allegedly planned and instigated and ordered crimes, including murder, rape, abductions committed during the conflict. And this,
for what reason?
This was in connection with his association and support for, alleged association and support for, the Revolutionary United Front, one of the rebel groups, and the Armed Forces Revolutionary Council, another faction during the Sierra Leone conflict, combined with his role as head of Liberian forces that also allegedly were fighting in the Sierra Leone conflict.
To some degree, because Sierra Leone is rich in resources, and especially diamonds. How much of a role does blood diamonds play in all of this story?
According to the prosecutor and the opening statement he made on Monday during the opening of the trial of Charles Taylor, Charles Taylor's crimes basically can be summed up in terms of a campaign of terror. He alleges that a campaign of terror against the Sierra Leonean people was committed as part of what the prosecutor described as a joint criminal enterprise to take over Sierra Leone, and part of that was to extract the diamond wealth of the country.
Is it true that Charles Taylor has links with Pat Robertson, the TV evangelist? Do you know about that?
That I probably could not speak
well,
to.
I've heard that they were involved in a joint diamond mining venture.
I've heard about that. I read about that in the media, and read several articles in the Liberian media about his association with Pat Robertson. But I haven't seen and then hard evidence to link the two. But just to add to the question regarding the crimes Taylor committed in Sierra Leone and why he's been tried for crimes in Sierra Leone, let us not forget that Taylor, the late Fode Sarkar and Taylor were bullied. They were criminal bullied. They both met when they were in exile. They were both colleagues of Blaise Compaoré of Burkina Faso, and they had a pledge. They were the whole NPFL operation. It was somehow like the ICADA movement. It was an operation designed to take over West Africa. Descendants from Ghana, descendants from Togo, dissidents from Ivory Coast, dissidents from Sierra Leone, all met in Burkina Faso. And Blaise Compaoré was the a friend of Charles Taylor, helped to really lubricate the entire operation.
So this is kind of a unification movement run by people who would be like the mafia was trying to put together a country.
It was a criminal empire, yeah.
In terms of the relationship with Fode Senko, the indictment and the prosecutor has indicated that the special court has evidence, or the prosecution has evidence, that Taylor planned or ordered, instigated certain crimes, but that when it comes to aiding and abetting the Revolutionary United Front, which is the rebel group that Fode Senko was ahead of, that the prosecution indicated that they have overwhelming evidence of Taylor aiding and abetting that group.
My guests are Elise Kepler, counsel for the International Justice Program at Human Rights Watch, and Jacob Masakoi, who is founder of the organization African Refuge and a leader of the Liberian community here in New York City. This is WNYC and WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. Is it a problem that Fode Senko is not with us, he's dead, and so Charles Taylor winds up being kind of a surrogate accused?
Fode Senko was one of the persons indicted by the special court, and I've been to Freetown twice now to evaluate the work of the special court, and it's been Human Rights Watch's assessment that the court is doing, is really making a vital contribution to bringing justice for the crimes committed in Sierra Leone. And this is a court that has a mandate to prosecute those bearing the greatest responsibility for the crime. So it's a small number of people indicted. As I said, Fode Senko was one of the persons indicted. He's no longer alive. And in fact, several other persons indicted by the court have also either died or are missing. And that that has been unfortunate in terms of the justice process for the crimes. But Taylor is himself indicted for war crimes and crimes against humanity. So it is no substitute for Fode Senko.
And what are his responses to those charges? Has he admitted any guilt? I know the paper the other day announced that he has decided to boycott the trial.
Yeah, as far as I understand it, he's pled not guilty. He didn't show up to the opening of the trial on Monday, and at that time, his defense counsel indicated that Taylor was terminating representation by his defense counsel. And, from our perspective, the opening of the trial of Charles Taylor is incredibly significant. To see someone who was a former head of state and also someone associated with serious crimes across West Africa, that sends a powerful signal that no one is above the law.
But there's another side. A deal was struck to get him out of Liberia, and he went into exile in Nigeria. Many people would have liked to have seen Idi Amin brought to justice, but he wound up living out his life in Saudi Arabia. Why didn't the same sort of thing happen for Charles Taylor?
Well, it's hard to say precisely, but what I can say is that I think it does represent a break from the past. All too often, there's been impunity for the most serious crimes, and having Taylor answer on charges of war crimes and crimes against humanity puts would-be perpetrators on notice and hopefully will contribute to less such crimes being committed in the future.
Weren't these trials originally slated to be held in Sierra Leone? Why are they in The Hague?
The Special Court for Sierra Leone, it has its headquarters in Freetown, the capital of Sierra Leone. And that's in fact, one of the advantages of the court's work is that it's located close to the communities most affected by the crimes. There are three trials that have been going on in the court premises in Freetown, and those include individuals from all three warring factions in the conflict. When Taylor was surrendered to the court, and that was in March 2006, very soon thereafter, the president of the special court requested that his trial be relocated to the Netherlands, that it would still be conducted by the special court, the Sierra Leone court, but that it be conducted outside of Sierra Leone. And that was on the basis of concerns that there would be instability in West Africa if Taylor was tried there.
Now, I'm assuming that this sort of thing is being watched closely by people like Mengistu, the former dictator of Ethiopia who's living in Zimbabwe, and by the leader of Zimbabwe as well, Robert Mugabe, because this sort of thing could make them nervous. Do you speak to other members of African communities here in New York? What is their take on this?
Yes, we feel that this is a positive step in the right direction. We are breaking away from the past, the culture of impunity. And lastly, to talk a little bit about the Charles Taylor trial, I feel that the international court should be very guided by this advice that Taylor, knowing what I know about this guy, he's very manipulative. He's going to make this trial politicize it and delegitimize the court and present it as a Western imperialist trying to impose the Western culture on Africa.
But the same sort of thing was done by Milosevic.
Same that Milosevic and Saddam Hussein. So,
and it's important to emphasize that this court is a mixed national-international court and is, in fact, an innovation in international tribunals. The court includes both Sierra Leonean and international components and has Sierra Leonean judges and international judges and staff.
But I understand also there have been some problems with the funding of the special court.
Funding is a major issue for this court. The court has, as I was indicating, made crucial contributions to bringing justice for the worst crimes, and it's done it with an insecure and inadequate funding situation. The court has consistently not had adequate funds to complete its operations, and in fact, at this moment, the court does not have enough funding to complete Taylor's trial or any of the rest of its work in Freetown.
So what is going to happen there?
It will be crucial that donors step forward and provide the court with additional funding. And the special court is actually making a presentation to the UN Security Council tomorrow, and I understand that funding will be high on the agenda.
Jacob, what are the feelings about Charles Taylor back in Liberia? Does he still have some supporters?
Indeed.
If he were freed, mm-hmm. would there be a threat that Charles Taylor could make a comeback in Liberia?
Absolutely. This guy still poses threat to Liberia, not only Liberia, to the entire West African region as a whole.
Have things changed since Ellen Sirleaf Johnson was elected in Liberia? I'm sure that it can't be smooth sailing for her after all the turmoil that Liberia has endured.
Things are changing gradually, but what I would love to see from the human rights perspective, I would love to see the trial of those who are most responsible for the crimes committed in Liberia. There are individuals who perpetrated heinous crimes against humanity. Who
not just Charles Taylor.
Not just Charles Taylor. I'm speaking about heads of the warring factions. I feel that they also should be, I think they also should be brought to justice. Those children born during the course of the war and children born in the late 80s, all they saw during their growing up was violence. And 80% of the so-called rich people in Liberia today obtain the riches through some illegal means, ill-gotten wealth, you know, during the course of either extortion, buying of looted property, or hiring some members of the rebel group to break another person's store. So there was a whole a combination of crimes in the country, economic crimes, etc. So just to conclude on this, I think war crime, it is extremely essential to break from the past the culture of impunity, so that we can teach our children that the violence is not the answer. Rather, if you commit violence, there is a recourse.
Elise, who else is being tried in these trials? Are they mostly from Sierra Leone, or are there other people from Liberia along with Charles Taylor?
They are Sierra Leoneans associated with the three warring factions. There are eight individuals currently being tried right now in these three different trials, and the trials are taking place between two different trial chambers in Freetown.
And do you think that there's any chance that real justice will be served here, or are there just too many complications? First of all, there can't be all that much evidence, can there?
Well, from our perspective, justice is crucially important to provide redress to the victims and also to contribute to building respect for the rule of law. And while the special court is prosecuting a small number of individuals, these trials are very significant. And in fact, when I was in Freetown, people consistently referred to the crucial importance of Taylor answering on charges.
But there must be some witnesses who'll need long-term protection.
That's absolutely true. And the special court has a comprehensive system of witness protection and support. And that's one aspect that will need funding over the long term, so that people who have testified are not in the position to be at risk.
Jacob, have you gone back to Liberia?
No. The interesting thing, I wasn't.
It is a democracy again, isn't it?
I haven't been back to Liberia, not at my own home village where I'm from. I'm from Butuo. I was living in Liberia and worked in Liberia under the draconian rule of Mr. Taylor, but I did not go back to my home village. And since I came here in 2002, I haven't gone back to Liberia. First, I'm on political asylum. Returning to Liberia will be in violation of my status here as a political refugee. So until I change my status, I can return to Liberia.
And when you got here, you had a difficulty adjusting, didn't you? I mean, it's not easy for somebody who, political asylum or not, to make it in the early days when they come to this country.
In combination that I came here as a handicap. I was a handicap when I came here. As I mentioned earlier, I was shot. I survived an assassination attempt in 1994. And for 10 years, I was a handicap. And
Was the bullet still in you?
No.
But you needed corrective surgery.
I needed corrective surgery. And it was a real, real difficult adjusting and trying to navigate the social system and accessing resources to help me cope with the challenges at that time.
You live in Staten Island. Is there a large Liberian community in Staten Island?
Yes, there's a large Liberian, huge Liberian community on Staten Island, about 8,000 to 9,000 Liberians on Staten Island. In fact, it is considered as the largest concentration of Liberians outside of Liberia.
Are there Liberians in this country who support Charles Taylor?
Well, I want to believe there are people who support Charles Taylor, and there are people who are totally against the war, the establishment of war crime. They do not want to see war crime. They support blanket amnesty for war criminals.
And under what rationalization?
In my judgment, people who support general blanket amnesty for war criminal in Liberia, they are fundamentally and philosophically the same.
Are there people who would like to see amnesty in Sierra Leone, or is that country's terrible history led to other kinds of feelings?
Well, there has been an amnesty that was granted as part of one of the peace agreements, but that is not recognized by the Special Court for Sierra Leone. From our perspective, it is essential that justice be done for these kinds of crimes.
And I want to thank you both so much for being with us. We've been speaking with Elise Kepler, who's a counsel for the International Justice Program at Human Rights Watch, and Jacob Masakoi, who is a human rights activist and a leader in New York City's Liberian community. He's also a founder of the organization African Refuge. It's been, I'm very grateful to you both for participating in today's Underreported. And I think that our listeners probably know a lot more about Liberia than they did before we started. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Thank you.